They fornicated, they grumbled, they murmured. But when God said, go in, take the land, you will be victorious, they said, no, we are afraid. There are giants. We will be destroyed. God is trying to kill us. That unbelief was the worst, by far. They had mumbled and grumbled up to that point, but God was still going to deliver them to the promised land. But when they were about to enter in, and God told them to go up and take the land, and they feared that the inhabitants of the land would be too big and strong for them, he turned them back into the wilderness, and many of their carcasses fell in the wilderness. Not all that came out of Egypt was God provoked by. No. But by those who did not believe. Who did he swear would not enter into his rest, which then was the promised land, and now is Christ, and the deliverance from sin, the rest from sin, the rest from ungodliness, the rest from the troubles of this life? Not that you don't have troubles, but that they are not your trouble. That we fear not and trust him for all the things of our life. That we are ready when he says to go forward into the battle, that we are not afraid of our enemy. That we are ready to take the battle to the enemy and overcome him. It was them that had sinned. That's who God was angry with. Those who had sinned. And their sin was unbelief. And all sin really stems from unbelief. It does. Every sin. You know, Eve believed the serpent, didn't believe God. That's how she sinned. If she believed God, really believed. Because the thing is, if you really believe God, you would never do things. You know what I mean? If we truly knew the reality of the Lord, if we could like somehow, you know, look and see his presence and see his activity to some degree. If it was to the fullest extent, I don't think we could undertake it. I mean, it would be too much. But to some extent, to see God's presence activity, the immediacy of him. And if we could truly believe everything that God has told us, we have the wisdom in that. The hidden wisdom, as we read about in Corinthians, remember that we speak the wisdom of God hidden in a mystery. I think it's Corinthians chapter 1 Corinthians 2 or 3. We speak the wisdom of God, which is hidden in a mystery, which God hid from the princes of the world. Because if he hadn't hid it from them, they would not have crucified the Lord. See, there's a wisdom from God that would tell us we shouldn't do stuff just from our own sense of self-preservation. It is in man with fullness of knowledge and fullness of belief. That's why, you know, like let's say when you stand over a precipice or on a bridge or something, you feel that fear. You feel the immediacy of death. And you feel frightened. And you don't throw yourself off the bridge or the cliff because you believe you will die if you do so. If you could see sin in the immediacy of death that is present with the deed. And that's like what the garden is about. That there was an immediacy of death within the disobedience of eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And just because God doesn't carry out the sentence immediately, we are deceived. But sin carries with it an immediacy of death. It brings about death immediately. But we can't perceive that. And so, we sin. And this ought not to be. We don't want to be those whom God is not pleased with. So let us not sin. Let us seek rather to be made partakers of this heavenly calling. To be made partakers of the divine nature. As I'm fond of always going to in 2 Peter chapter 1. He hath given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. What has given it? This is divine power. through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue. They are given these exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we may be made partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We want to add to our faith virtue, to our virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, temperance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, brotherly kindness, add to that love, adding to our faith many things. And if we do those things, we can be sure of our election and our calling. We will be sure, because we will see the works of God manifest by the power of God, because it is only the divine power of God that could bring about the fullness of Christ in our mortal bodies even. You know, we want to lay aside all filthiness of the flesh and spirit and perfect holiness in the fear of God. As Paul said in, I think it was 2 Corinthians 11. Actually, it's 2 Corinthians chapter 7. That is a high thing. That is something man is not capable of. But by the divine power of God, you are capable. See? I mean, I'm not capable of walking up to someone and laying my hands on them and healing them. I have no virtue in me to do anything like that. But by the divine power of God, if he were to grant me that power, of course I could do that, right? I could lay my hands on the sick and they would recover. I could put my feet on the water and walk across by the divine power. But it has to be given. In many ways, I feel like I look around the world to me like it's a world falling apart. And at times I feel like, God, where are you? But then I see his works in me, and I feel assured in my calling and election. And so I continue the works, because I believe the Lord. I will not err after the same example of unbelief. No matter how high the stature is of the enemies, no matter how tall and great and unsurmountable this whole world and its system and the religions of it seem so contrary to the truth, I think, God, how can this ever be made right? But I believe it can be. And it will be, because he said so. So we will enter in because of belief. We will go from faith to faith. Our faith will increase and become greater. And we will become mightier in the Lord's power. And we will do greater works. Greater works shall you do, for I go to my Father. We will.